Well, good morning, church. Let's go to him in prayer. Our Father, we are so thankful that that you are the mount that we're fixed upon, that we can remember who you are through the Ebenezer stone. God, that you have supplied and richly blessed us so greatly. Lord, I pray that you would continue that blessing to open our eyes in the scripture that we find and we read this morning. Help us to understand you more because of your word this morning. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Yesterday I was at Stephendale Baptist Church helping with their flood relief, and a friend of mine went. We were moving stuff around, cleaning stuff out, throwing stuff into large piles like many of you have done, and we were just about to have to leave. We had some commitments yesterday evening, and I saw two older ladies come up, probably in their 70s or so, and they were talking to Brother Stephen, the pastor of the church, and you could tell they were disturbed and their faces were just downcast. And so I walked up, we were going to tell Brother Stephen goodbye, and I heard the plight of the ladies. They were both telling him that they had no one to help them with their house, and they had mold growing on their walls, and one of them was in tears and upset that that they hadn't had any help, and had one of them had been told they were going to have help, but they didn't get help, and they were just upset. And at that point, I wanted to stop and go to their houses and help them, but I couldn't because I had commitments and family commitments. And at that point, I was reminded of what I've been saying. My motto through this whole tragedy has been, do what you can. And there are times that we can't do it all. And sometimes it's overwhelming, and my heart breaks for people to see a single woman who cannot take care of her house. And I want to go rescue and help them, but I couldn't. And so this morning, as I'm thinking through this last night and preparing and studying for the message today, the title of today's message is going to be this, and I want this to, for us to think and to resonate with us, is do what you can while you can. Do what you can while you can. And the point of today's message is there'll be several things, but we need to do what we can in this life while we have the opportunity to do it. And I can't tell you the times that people have come to me and have said, enjoy life, at least when I was young, they said this, is enjoy life while you're young, because getting old ain't no fun. Somebody said amen. No, you're not supposed to say amen there. Do what you can while you can, because while we have the opportunity to do things, we must do things. And as God's people, we must take advantage of every moment that we have. And I think back to Ecclesiastes chapter 4 when he talks about there's a time for all of these things, a time and a season for all things under heaven or under the sun, if you will, which is this world here. Friends, as we think about our time that we have under the sun, here's my call and my rallying cry for us is do what you can while you can. Do what you can while you can. We've been studying through the book of Ecclesiastes, and one of our themes is that we must put our hope in God, because even while we're on this world, it is all passing away. The Bible calls it vanity. It's all temporary. It's all going away. So we do what we can while we can, and our theme this year in our church life has been each one what, church? I couldn't hear you. Each one what? Thank you. Each one, reach one. And the idea of doing what we can while we can, we've got to reach people while we can reach them. Last week we looked at the mystery of God, the mystery of our Lord in heaven. We don't understand Him. We can't comprehend Him. We don't know why. Yet we come before Him and we do what we can to honor Him while we can. If you have your Bibles, I'll invite you to open up to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. We're going to begin chapter 9 today. And it begins in this way. You ready? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. I need to know you're with me this morning. But all this I laid to heart, examining it all. So he understands. Remember last week was the mystery of God. I can't comprehend this God who does all of these things that I just don't understand why good things happen to bad people or good things even happen to good people. I can't comprehend God's mystery. And he says, I laid all this to heart, examining it all. How the righteous and the wise and their deeds are, they're in the hand of God. Whether it's love or hate, man does not know, both are before him. So whether or not good or bad or love or hate happens to anyone, it's all in the hand of God. We don't quite understand it all. Look at verse 2. He says, it is the same for all, since the same event happens to the righteous and to the wicked. The same thing will happen to the righteous man and the wicked man. To the good man, to the evil. To the clean and to the unclean. To him who sacrifices and to him who does not sacrifice. So what he's trying to get us to understand is, look, the same thing is going to happen whether you're good or evil. As the good one, so the sinner. And so he swears to one who swears as to the one who shuns the oath. So if they keep their word or they don't keep their word, same thing's going to happen. Verse 3, this is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that the same event happens to all. Let's remember, we don't control what happens to us. Remember, this is under the mystery of God. We don't know what will happen to us. We don't control what happens to us. And many people step back in life and just go, man, life's just not fair. And I'm angry about it because I don't know what's going to happen. I can't control what's going to happen. And I don't like what happened. Some people get to the point in life where they just sit back and they say, why even bother? Whether I'm good or bad or do good things or bad things, the same thing's going to happen to me. You ever been there? If you haven't, you're lying. Why does it matter? People get to this point. Why does it even matter? I spend hours helping people every week. Why does it matter? And my house gets flooded. I cook meals for people. And I get the flat tire and have the $300 bill of a new tire. Why should I even do good? Because the people who are cheating and lying and stealing, they're doing all right. Ever been there? The scoundrel and the faithful end up in the same boat. In the same boat. Why even do good? And we sit back and we go, this is just not what? Fair. I give up. Whether I try to be righteous or whether I just do everything I know I'm not supposed to do. So what? And you've been there. And I've been there. We've all been there. And we've been to the brink of, well, I'm just going to give up. It doesn't matter anymore. Just do what everybody else does, right? Just serve myself in life. Might as well. Let's see what the preacher says. What Kohelet says. He says, continuing in verse 3, he says, also the hearts of all men, of the children of the men, are full of evil, madness in the children's hearts while they live, and after that they go to the dead. Like even this, the world is getting so bad and things are so bad around me. Even the kids are wicked and evil and doing these things. But let's not miss where he goes with all of this. Because this sad way of life, this improper way of thinking leads us down a road that brings us to destruction. And it leads us to a very unhealthy place. And many of you can say, amen, I know that. I've been there. Been in this destructive mindset to where Nothing matters, and I don't care, and I'm numb. And look what he says. He says, and then they go to the dead. Now here's the great thing. When he says the same thing happens, he means the same thing happens. Whether we're good or evil, we're all going to end up what, church? Dead one day. And if you're in under the hearing of my voice, let this sink in. You are going to be dead one day. You will die. You will face the judgment. Let me tell you like this. Death don't care how good or bad you are. Death is coming. Death don't care how young or how old you are. Death is coming. So why does it matter if we do good or we do bad? Because death is coming. And when we die, we will stand before a holy judge named Jesus Christ the Righteous. And he will look at us and he will say, "Who are you?" And in trembling and fear, we will stand before him and we will say either, "I am myself," or, "Lord Jesus Christ, I am your servant, your son, your daughter. I've surrendered my own life. I've surrendered my way unto you, O God. And I plead the blood of Jesus upon me. I have forsaken myself on earth and I have given myself to you. I have repented of my sin and come before you and said, Lord, forgive me. Oh, Father, forgive me and receive me by your blood." So why does it matter whether we do good or bad here on earth? Because death is coming. And when we sit before the throne of Jesus, our works, our fruit, will be the sign and the testimony of who we really are. And for those, like Jesus said, for those who have done righteousness, we will be ushered into the presence of God. But for those whose deeds were wicked, Jesus said, will enter eternal damnation. And friends, it doesn't matter how many times we've prayed. The ungodly pray all the time. It doesn't matter how many times we've been to church, because the ungodly come to church every week. What matters, have we been born again? Has our heart been transformed so that the evil is not our heart's desire? So that the evil is not the way of the righteous, but that our hearts are bent towards God, and by doing so, we prove who we are, a child of the living God. So I give you this again. O Christian, do what you can while you can to prove who you are. And if you're in that despairing place in life, if you're in that place where you say, "I don't care, it doesn't matter what I do anymore," I want to be here to tell you it does matter what you do. And every day matters what you do. And every instant matters what you think and what you act out, because in every moment you are proving who you are. Are you a child of God or are you a child of the world? Are you a child of the devil, as Jesus told us in John 8? It matters greatly, because like Jesus said in John chapter 6, you will know them by their what? Fruits. And friend, I'm here to tell you this morning, you will be known by your fruit. Death is coming, and he don't care who you are. He's coming. Part of reading the scripture brings us to truths like this, that death is coming. Doesn't matter who we are, death is coming. And one of my main priorities in my jobs as a pastor is to make sure you are aware, friends, of the teaching of Scripture, of who we are, of who of the death is coming and how we are to stand before God. Look at Romans 5, 1 and 2. Excuse me. Let me read that to you. There is only one way in which you will meet death and end up well, and it is the way in which Paul teaches us in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified by what, church?
Faith.
By faith. Those who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ are made righteous in the eyes of God, are declared not guilty in the eyes of God. You are justified. That's what that word justified means. Just if I never sinned. It's a good way to remember it. You are declared righteous, clean. By faith, we have what with God?
Peace.
You see it? Say it with me. You have what?
Peace
with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came to bring peace between my soul and the living God. And when I'm at that judgment seat, if I don't know Jesus, if I have not come before Jesus and given Him my life, surrendered before Him, repented of my sin, believed upon the name of Jesus, there is no peace between God and myself. And because there is no peace, He will judge me for all eternity. Because I have eternally defamed His Son and rejected His Son. But we have peace with God for those who know Jesus Christ. Verse 2, through Him we have also obtained by faith access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. What was our theme for Ecclesiastes? What was it? Hope in God. The only way we can hope in God is, verse 2, like it tells us, is by believing in Jesus, and we have fellowship with God. We have access into the presence of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Somebody say hallelujah, amen. Because that is good. God, there's damnation. Or there is access. And the hinge point is His Son. So does it matter what you do? Does it matter if you sit at home and stuff yourself with your own desires? Or if you sit at home and feast on the glory of God and reach out to His people and raise a godly family and minister to your family? Does it matter what you do?
Yes,
it matters what you do. Yes, it matters what you do. Because this is the fruit of God working itself out in your life and demonstrating who you are. Let's look at verse 4. Y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Oh, good. But he who is joined with all the living has what? Has hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Let me stop right there real quick. Dogs were not like pets. You know, how many of y'all have a dog? Anybody got a dog? Okay, dogs were not pets back in these days. You could think of them like today, in our today's age, we think of a rat. Okay, they were just scavengers. They were things running the street eating stuff and dirt and vomit off the side of the road. I mean, that's what dogs did. So he's saying, better is a living dog than a dead lion. Now lions, they know, are majestic. You know, king of the jungle, these are the creatures that are very majestic creatures. And he's saying, look, better is a rat that's alive than a lion that's dead. Why? What's the difference? The dog is what? He's alive. And the proverb that he's giving us here is this: while you're alive, you're better off than all those around who are dead, because they have no hope. They have no opportunity to know Jesus and to do the work of Jesus. You get the point? Better is a dog. At least if you're a dog, if you feel like a dog more than a lion some days, anybody? Okay, you feel more like a dog than a lion, then you're better off than that dead lion. Because at least you've got hope and an opportunity to know Jesus and to serve Him. Look at verse 5. For the living know they will die, but the dead, they know nothing. They have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. They have no opportunity, no hope. Verse 6, their love and their hate and their envy have already perished, and forever they have no more share in all that is done under the sun. See it? See this under the sun idea? We're back here. Under the sun is our life on earth. And he says, if you're alive, at least you still have hope. At least you still have opportunity. And here's my word again, to my phrase to you again. Do what you can while you can. You can't do it all. I couldn't save the ladies yesterday. Oh, my heart wanted to. But I could do work at the church in the morning. So I did. Do what you can while you can. Friend, even greater than that, if you do not know Jesus this morning, you better do what you can while you can. While you're hearing the gospel word. There will be a day, non-believer, if you're not a believer this morning, there will be a day when the word and the gospel will be like hardness coming upon you. And you'll hear it and you'll be like, I don't believe that old mess. So if you are not a believer, then today is the day to be saved for you. Because your heart, the Bible says, go read Romans chapter 1, your heart will become hardened and hardened and hardened to the redeeming word of the gospel. And that is why the words of Jesus and the word of Scripture always is, repent and believe now. Today is the day of salvation. Do what you can while you can. The lion has great potential. He's a beast. He's ferocious. He's dangerous. He's strong. But if the lion is dead, he's nothing. The dog is meager. The dog is unloved and unliked. Jesus said even the dogs eat the scraps under the tables. They don't even get real food off the table. But the dog is alive. And friends, we are alive and we can seek hope and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to the cross, friend. Come to the cross. Look in verse 7. Where do we... Okay, here we are. We know Jesus now. At least I hope you do. If you know Jesus, where do we go from here? All right, verse 7. Forward, let's see what happens here. Y'all still with me? All right. Go eat your bread with joy. Drink your wine, or grape juice if you're Baptist, with a merry heart. For God has already approved what you do. Go. Rejoice. As we see through Scripture, wine is used as happiness. It's always in a time of festivity. The weddings. Go. It says, go eat your bread with joy. Have a merry heart, for God has approved what you do. Here it is, y'all. If you are a believer, if you come before Jesus and you've made your peace with God, like we talked about, if you've come before Him and you've been made right with God, what does He have for us to do? Here's what He has for us to do. He has for us to be joyful. Don't be miserable Christian. Don't turn your face down at everything and be critical of everything and be walking around in sackcloth and ash all the time, Christian. Be merry. Have joy. Enjoy life. Do what you can while you can. God has given us the days under the sun to enjoy in the ways that He can. Remember the context. Always remember the context of what the passage is saying here. Death is coming. Enjoy life while you can. Enjoy the blessings that the Lord has granted unto you. Now we're gonna make sure we have some guardrails balancing us and protecting us from danger. But Christian, we know there are so many things here on earth for us to enjoy God in. And I'm not talking like enjoying the world. I'm not talking about sinful pleasures, the lust of the eyes, the pride of possessions. I'm not talking about all that. I'm talking about enjoying creation as the Lord has given it to us. And not sinfully, but in a God-honoring way, enjoy life. Enjoy the good food you can eat. Enjoy the life, the good air you can breathe. Let's keep going. Look in verse 8. He goes further out. Let your garments always be white. Let not oil be lacking on your head. You know, he's talking about a time of mourning when you would wear dark clothing. And you would, you know, the Pharisees, they wouldn't make their faces look good because they were fasting, and they wanted everybody to know that they were not looking good. You say, no, we don't do that. We don't want to always be like that. We want to be joyful people who are not always mourning. Of course, Romans 12:15 tells us to weep with those who weep. So there are times for that, yes, but not all the time. Enjoy, verse 9 says, enjoy life with the wife whom you love. All the days of your vain life in which he's giving you under the sun. Because that is your portion in life and your toil or your work at which you work under the sun. And this is in a good sense. Go to work. Come home. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your wife. And enjoy your what you have. Christian, this is your life. There's a group I've followed for many years called Switchfoot. And I've enjoyed their music for lots of years. They have a song that says, it says this. And I thought about it as I was reading this passage and preparing. It says this: yesterday is a wrinkle on your forehead. Yesterday is a promise that you've broken. But don't close your eyes. Don't close your eyes, because this is your life and today is all you've got. Yeah, today is all you'll ever have. This is your life. Are you who you want to be? Yeah, this is your life. Are you who you want to be? Are you living? Are you doing what you can while you can? The Lord has given you years to enjoy, O church. May Christians be the one who can enjoy creation above all. What do I mean by that? We as God's people should be able to enjoy God's creation more than anyone else. Why? Because we know how it should be properly used. And that's not an arrogant statement. That's a statement saying God's word is defined how we use stuff. So we take a voice and we use it to sing praises to our God. So we take food and we use it to nourish our body so that we might serve his people. We take the gift of administration that the Lord has given us, and we learn to organize things within the church, or prepare a lunch for kids who are going to the next grade in their Sunday school class. We take the knowledge we have and we fix the air conditioner at the church. Or we take the resources we have and we give them to hope givers so that orphans are cared for. Better yet, we can go care for orphans ourselves. We can take in foster children and adopt them into our home. We have resources to do that. There are so many things that God has given us under this creation that we take them and we use them for his kingdom. You have a car? Well, good. Give somebody a ride to church. Right? Eat food. Because the Lord gave us these taste buds to enjoy them. And when you eat your food, you say, thank you, God. That was good. I really like donuts. But notice, in all of these things that we enjoy life in, notice, it's wrapped around the Lord and his goodness. It's not wrapped around fulfilling sinful desires. It's wrapped around the goodness of God. And so we do what we can, while we can, to enjoy who God is. And then look at verse 10. It's not enough that he said enjoy it. Be clothed in white and have oil on your face and enjoy life. He says, not only does he say enjoy life, look at what he says in verse 10. And whatever your hand finds to do, do it. So you've got ideas, you have dreams, you've got visions of things that could honor God, then do it. Take the step of faith. He says, do it. If it is a well thought out, now not things on a whim. We take all the scripture into context. You know, we plan things out. We count the cost, as Jesus had warned us to do. And told us to do. But if we find something we want to do that honors the Lord, then we do it. Do it with all your might, he says. Don't just do it. Do it with all of your might. And then he says this, for there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol which you are going. What does he mean by that? With your redeemed mind and your God, Christ exalting mind, whatever you want to do to the glory of God, you do it with all your heart, because when you're dead, you can't do it. I'm a procrastinator. I am. I put things off. You can talk to people who know me. I just put things off many times. And this sermon is for me, because I need to do what I can while I can. And I'm always thinking, tomorrow, I can do that tomorrow. I'll do that next week. And sometimes I need to come to verse 10 here and say, whatever my hand finds to do, do it with all my might. I need to get things done. I need to get it done. Because there are some things that are on my heart and in my hopes and wishes and dreams that could honor and glorify God, that if I don't start, I'm not going to do them when I'm dead. So here's what I give you. Here's the Word of God and what it's teaching us this morning. We will all die one day. We'll all die. We need to be right with God. Before we die, we need to make our peace with God. And then He wants to use us, and we need to be willing to be used to do what we can while we can. So Christian, I encourage you. Do not use your life to fulfill your sinful, simple, passing desires. Do not waste your life upon things that will not matter tomorrow. Give your life with all of your might, as he says, to do what you can do to glorify God. And if that means you need to go to the ends of the earth to preach the gospel, then go with all of your heart. That means you need to serve within this local church body and cook meals for people, then cook with all of your heart. That means you need to go to your job every day and work hard in a Christ-honoring way and come home and raise a family that knows the Scripture and knows Jesus. Then do it with all of your heart. If you're single, if you're married, if you have kids, if you don't have kids, if you're finished with kids, wherever you are in life, find something to honor God and do it with all of your heart for His glory. And may our lives not, when we die, may they not say, well, He did everything He wanted to do that made Him happy. But may they say, He gave Himself unto the Lord Jesus. He did what He could while He could. Friends, that is the word of Scripture weighing heavy upon us. Father, I come before you this morning, and I pray that we as a church would do what we can while we can with all of our heart. Lord, I pray for souls that don't know you, that while they have opportunity, they would come to know you, and they would find the great joy of knowing Jesus. Lord, for those of us who are your children here this morning, stoke a fire in our heart to do what we can, while we can, for your kingdom, to sacrifice of ourselves as the Lord Jesus sacrificed for us, and to give ourselves for the kingdom, to give ourselves for you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.